You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced that I have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. This got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and we're talking moccasin and joke. Well, the party they gon' have out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, good evening, everybody. This again, this is Marco Bill, and we're back this week. Boy, I tell you, a lot of activity going on there in Oregon and a couple of the other northern states. A lot of loggers out there getting some sightings. We'll have one of them on here probably next week. It was too early for him to make it tonight. But some fascinating experiences that they had. And I'll keep you tuned in. I want to thank all you listeners out there for sending us some emails and things. Tell us every once in a while our website or something screws up, and I can't monitor 24 hours a day. I mean, sometimes it screws up and something's not working, and I just don't know. It doesn't work. So you folks send me the email, tell me if something's not working properly. I go back and get it, and it's fixed right away, and it saves a lot of time. And I really appreciate that from you guys out there. Thanks. Tom is really he's beat right now. We got to get this last DVD out, and they're just raising ruckus with us, all kinds of stuff they need at the last minute. So it just continues to go. We probably should have taken probably a month to get this thing done. It's been 3 months now trying to get it perfected to perfection. And once it gets done, it'll be out there, and it'll be well worth everything, the efforts that's put in it. I will tell you that. But we got a full lineup tonight, and we're going to start off with a good friend of ours who was on a couple weeks ago here, Mac from Tennessee. He's going to talk about when he was out there and with Tom here last year. Mac, how are you tonight?
Good, Marco. How you, people?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Yeah,
you're
okay.
And Mac, let me say something. People don't understand a lot of times. You know, Mac is a songwriter and a singer. That's pretty much your life's ambition, right, Mac?
Used to be.
And anyway, Mac got in a very serious accident, and it caused his voice and everything to not work properly and speak properly. So,
been here again there. For about 20 years, I was a songwriter, singer, entertainer, and then I just signed a recording contract and I was playing in New York at the Belmont Horse Race, and I came back home, and I was in a car accident just about a block from my mama's house. A kid come through and busted my car and hit me in the throat and chest, and I had a few stitches, but after then, I couldn't talk for about a year, and the doctor says, well, don't even think about singing and playing anymore at all. And I said, what kind of medicine are you using? I got a better medicine than you can. I guarantee you one day I'm going to sing again. So that's been 20 years, but I got the guitar out the other day, and I'm back at it.
That's good, Matt. But, things happen to us in our lives, and they become real challenges to overcome. And it's really neat to see that, you know, people overcome some of these obstacles in life and are able to go beyond them.
Sure. I realized that I didn't really want to be in the limelight after all. I just did that because I was an entertainer at that time, and I was playing the circuit, and I got tired of traveling, you know, and wanted to be home more. And,
sure.
But I didn't know I was going to have a car wreck to stop it, you know.
I know.
I enjoy living a peaceful life. And like I told Tom, I don't live in a bumper-to-bumper, stressed-out world like a lot of people. I got a job, and the 2 days that I'm off, I take my watch and I just hide it. I just do what I want to, enjoy my horses and... Like last night when I got through talking to you, it was 9:00 at night. I saddled up the horse and rode. Everybody else going to sleep. It's peaceful, and I don't have the horse flies and the mosquitoes and stuff that aggravate the horses when I'm training. And it's so peaceful and calm. And I'm looking at it right now. I'm sitting out in my truck, and I'm looking across a 300-acre pasture, and just on the other side of that pasture is just trees on both sides. But there's a Pearl River about 3/4 mile from my house right now. And there's a lot of activity going on up this Pearl River. And 2 miles from here is where I had the sighting, the last sighting, about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And that's when I saw the red eyes that day, at night, right at dark 30, what we call them. So I'm in a good hot spot. But now, I do have a farm, a little horse farm, about 18 miles from here. But I'm enjoying living here because I like my neighbors, and I like it close to the Pearl River because I can kind of do my little Bigfoot research, too. I'm not in a hurry to move over to the farm. Yeah.
No, that's good. It's good to be able to enjoy life.
Well, And while I'm thinking about it, and I know you feel the same way, my heart and prayers, I'm sure yours, go out to all the tornado victims. And we had a taste of that here, but I can't imagine how bad that is. And it's terrible, and it's so sad. But I hope that they'll put their faith and trust in the right person, and I know you will. And things will be better, because America, we come back. We always come back.
I know. I got some relatives over there, and thank God it missed them. They live in the northern portion of Oklahoma City, and this is in the southern portion. Moore is in the southern portion. They lived in Edmond, which is the northern part there, and it didn't touch their house or anything, and nobody got hurt, so I was really happy.
Well, I wanted to get out more this week, but I couldn't get out because,
what I wanted you to do is go. I wanted you to talk about when Tom and you guys went out there. You, Tom, and Tyrone went out, and just give us a thumbnail sketch of what happened.
Okay. The first time Tom came here, I didn't speak to him. A lot of people did, but I was still holding back because it had been 30 years since I had my first sighting. But back a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, I had the juvenile come across with red eyes. So I went and talked to Tom, and also because there were 25 or 30 more people that had sightings. So I showed him a video that I had taken because I had heard that there was a couple who videoed two creatures on the video, and me and Theron went and chased those people down, and we knew exactly where the spot was. Of course, I think they had deleted the video now because they were so scared. Bad look, this kind of feeling they had, you know, and it's kind of the way they're raised. But, so me and Theron, and there was another guy with us, I can't mention his name.
Sure, I understand.
We walked out about 300 yards, and Theron stayed there at the truck watching, and I made a horseshoe to the right about 300 yards and came back up. And then my partner that was with me, that I can't mention, he went one way because we thought we heard a herd of deer. And we stopped, and I looked to my left, and I saw this. I said, "That's a lair over there." And we walked to it, and he said, "What makes you think this is a lair?" And I said, "Because that's a huge limb going all the way across with green stuff all the way around it. Limb on top is rotten, and it didn't. These were not placed here, but the coolest thing about that lair, it had a wicked looking, I call it like a river oak tree limb, big limb, like a wishbone, and it was the coolest, wickedest, I think, like a witch looking wishbone limb." And I got pictures of it, videos of it. And after then, I let Tom look at it later on. I didn't realize what I'd taken, and he saw it. He said, "Can you take me to the lair?" And I said, "Sure." I took him to show him the lair. Of course, I called it the wishbone lair. But when we got there, and when I found it, something or somebody or something had stomped up. Wishbone limb and just stomped it about half and two and broke it up. Now, a lot of the things were missing on that, like it was disturbed. But they videoed anyway. But I got the original video and pictures of it. Now, that video I took that day that I showed Tom, and Tom didn't see it, and I didn't see it until I put it up on a monitor. Tom had already gone back to California. And I was looking at that monitor, and I said, "My goodness, what is that?" It was all kind of different creatures. I said, then I saw like a Bigfoot standing by a tree just over the lair on a knoll. Well, I got to looking later and studying this. I said, no, that's not the Bigfoot. There's the Bigfoot on the ground. What it was, it looked like a, you know, our ancestors used to talk about shapeshifters or something that makes movement like shapeshifting ghosts. Mm-hmm. It was like five of them and moving, standing up, but they looked like a Bigfoot, okay? And around the bottom was like a ghost looking. I got all kind of pictures. I got tons of pictures of this thing. Now, the Bigfoot that was on the ground was a dog-faced Bigfoot, and I call him Grandpa because he looks like he got a beard and everything else, but he got a snout, you know, just like a huge dog-looking face, but he's laying on the ground facing me. I saw that legs running across the video when I first turned it on, and I saw something running, and I had a couple of people that said, yeah, we saw the legs too. Something was running and diving on that ground. Later on, I got, it's like five of them and five different types of Bigfoot. Now, since then, Ron and I went out and videoed some more before you get to that layer. And I let Ron walk out, and I got some strange-looking, I mean, creatures, I don't know, but everything seemed to be dog-foot type. Now, a lot of this, I've hunted ever since I was 11 years old, 10 years old, maybe a boy then. And many times I've been in the swamps, I've never seen anything like a shapeshifter. I've heard about it, you know. But what this was doing that day that I saw that, like a Bigfoot standing by the tree, it was kind of moving, trying to get, like, doing things to get my attention. But it was trying to protect the Bigfoot. And what I put together, the ghost-looking head creature was on the bottom. It was informing like a, you know, telling the Bigfoot, they kept conversation going. Like telling it, hey, there's two people coming up on your lair out there, you know. And I said, man, am I seeing things? And this video is going to be hot. I'm telling you, I'm just taking my time. I'm putting these videos together. But it's going to be a wishbone lair video one day. And people will see what I'm seeing. Everybody I've shown it to said, hey, you've got something. And I know I have. But the last time the run and I did some serious videoing out there, it had been 10 days. They had done some controlled burning, and they burned all the undergrowth. And the reason I got thrown to go out there, and let me tell you what, Thrun, that brave rascal, would go anywhere and do anything. He didn't mind. He walked right up to the edge of his gully and just stood there. Now, since then, that's kind of grown up, but they had just done that burning, and you could see real good. All of a sudden, this fog cloud kind of come in, and I don't know if it's like ghosty-looking cloud. I call it a ghost cloud because you can't see it. You know, we stand out looking at it. We can't see it. And I video and I can't see it. But I get home, and inside this cloud, there's about five creatures standing just a few feet from him, you know, just looking up at him. And they move kind of a little bit at a time. They're not real jerky, but it's the actual creatures. Now, what I talked about shapeshifters was something that, you know, as the Native American people used to talk about shapeshifters, and they stayed in the woods. That was entertainment for them. They studied woods. They could sleep better than we could, you know, because they eat and breathe. That's what they had to do. And I believe they were right. After all these years, I just thought, oh, shapeshifter, what's that, you know? And ghosts, I didn't think too much about ghosts, you know. But after all these years of hunting, it's just everything's right there. And at the same time, there is a dog, ghost-looking dog, right 3 feet above the a baby creature. And the baby creature looks like a baby Bigfoot. It's like it's trying to protect it. You can't see it with your naked eye, but on the video, on the camera, man, I took several pictures of it. And it's the strangest thing that's coming together. But, man, I'm not through with this. I'm just going, I want to just say what I'm into and what I'm studying. And I've got something going, but I'm not sure. You know, we're going to take some more video and try to put all this together.
Well, yeah, and I think it's a good thing. You know, Mac, you accumulate the information. Each time you do something, you learn something new about it, and you get some new information that helps amplify the last information you had, and it'll pan out. It'll pan out pretty good, I think. And I think you'll really have something. I've seen some of your pictures.
It's like you and I were talking about, and you need to ask Tom about the two that I sent him this past week.
You'll see
some more. I'm thinking to give you some good pictures. And what I'm sending you is going to be, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And I want to keep the videos, but I'm going to send you all the pictures that I can to kind of prove what I'm saying. And it's some beautiful pictures. I mean, we got some really good pictures. But like I said, the camera I was using is just like Tom's. It's just like a 1.5 resolution. But the friend of mine that was out there, he had an 8-point resolution. He didn't pick up anything. So whatever the weird thing about it, whatever this cloud is doing, even though he didn't pick it up, it's still doing its job by covering up. And I said, how strange.
Wow.
How strange.
Yeah.
But it's like you were saying last week, we got to get out of the box a little bit, because there's things out there, and we've got to take everything that we hear. And not you can pretty well tell when people are on level. You can tell, Georgetown, I can tell when people tell me truth. But a lot of innocent-looking and talking people, mothers and daughters, are going out to take the dog out and see these things. You know they're telling the truth. I mean, some of these wouldn't just make up something there's too many stories. But what we're on, what I'm working on, is coming together pretty good.
That's good. I'm glad. Well, Mac, I want to thank you a lot for coming on tonight and talking about it. I wanted to get a kind of review of where this all started from back in, you know, a couple of years ago here. When Tom visited out there, and there was a lot of things. I mean, that's a pretty active area that you got, and I really appreciate you coming on. We're going to be working with you more, you know, as we go along here. Once Tom gets done with all this other stuff, he'll be able to concentrate a little more on some of the other things that we're missing right now. But we'll be in there. We'll be contacting you, in touch with you.
I sure appreciate it.
Sure. I'm going to mute you out, Mac, but at the end of the show, we're going to have our little thing again. Hopefully my battery will last this time.
Oh, that was your battery. It wasn't my battery.
Yeah, it was my battery.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Here we go. I'm going to mute you out. We're going to go to commercial, okay? And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to commercial here in just a couple seconds.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back. And we're going out here to Texas to visit our good good friend, the Snake Man. Snake Man, how are you, my friend?
Hey, how you doing, Marco Bell?
Super. Hey, well, why don't you go tell us what's going on and some of the things that are happening in your area, Bruce?
Well, I recently had talked to a friend of mine who had a problem with he had seen what looked like a shadow going from the edge that took and ran straight up into the shoreline up around the tree section. It was big and tall. He said it didn't move like a bear, and it was over in that area where everybody was at the last time.
Same area, yeah.
Yes. And pretty good indication that they're back in the area.
Yeah, now, in your area, it's been pretty dry, and the last year was pretty dry and hot, right?
Right.
Yeah, and, you know, in Arizona, they had the doggone forest fires, and it seemed that they were getting closer and closer to human habitats and more active than before. And I think it was because they didn't have any food or water available in those areas, and they were kind of driven out of those areas by the fires, and they came further, you know, closer to the cities and towns and things to get that. Do you think the same kind of thing might be that same kind of?
I think so. I think it could be. But also, you know, a thing that I've been mulling over is that it could also be similar to like us, you know, they have family pods, which are basically family units.
Sure.
They use tools on occasion. They think like we do sometimes. You know, the fundamental things of survival, you know, they're pretty much like we are. They're just more unevolved, I guess.
Well, they certainly don't like to make themselves known very well. But they do. They are curious because that's how come we're seeing them.
That is
most
true.
Most of the time is because they're curious, and they somebody once said that we're their television.
Yeah,
I wonder what they say about us.
Exactly. I get such a kick, Michael Bill, out of some of these movies that they portray Bigfoot as a killer, you know, bloodthirsty. As you know, I've been out with Tom on several occasions, and I've had actual first encounters with them, like Frost, Texas. I told you about that incident, I believe, didn't I?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everything. And the thing never even tried to hurt me. It just wanted me out of its area.
Yeah. Bruce, the thing I always reflect on is if we look back, there was an incident in Land Between the Lakes about, what, it's 15 years now. It was 10 years ago, about 5 years ago, but it's 15 years ago, I think, now. And there was a lot of hush-hush about it, where a family had gotten, a couple of the family members had gotten killed. And it was from something that was not a bear or not a cat. And they had footprints in the area, which were human-like. And anyway, but there was a big hush on it. I mean, the local game and fish department had put the rangers on notice that, you know, if any leakage of information and any other thing, because they wanted to keep it quiet. It's a recreation area. That's a man-made recreation area they started here about, I don't know, 50 years ago or something like that. And so they didn't want to interfere with the recreational aspect of the, you know, of the area by having these monster stories, you know, scaring people away and having them afraid to come in and fish, doing all that. And it's amazing. But the only other two incidents that I know of, and we don't know that the only thing that I am aware of right now is that the only time these things have really charged has been either a juvenile instance where it's been a juvenile, and the juvenile felt threatened, and or a where it very well could have been the young in the area, and they were protecting the young, you know, to keep people from hurting or harming the young. And I can see that. And the only other the two incidents that I'm aware of, both were in Canada. Both people were out trying to hunt, one with a bow and arrow, one with a rifle. And they went out, and they were different. They didn't even know each other. These are two separate instances. And they did find their bodies 8 months later. And the bodies had not been, bitten by like a bear or anything. And the evidence showed that some kind of a, had it been a creature with a hand that killed them. And, it's just that kind of a thing. But those people were out there intentionally trying to harm something because they wanted to bag one. They wanted to kill it.
Exactly.
I think they're very, for most, overall, all the stories that I've had related to me in the last 6-7 years, and that's somewhere between 500 and 600 different
right.
encounters.
Right.
And none were violent except for a couple. And the couple that were violent, no one got harmed that I'm aware of, other than the stories that I just told you.
Right. You know, in my experiences, like when I went out with Tom's crew and everything, and he put me in charge of that one group, I had face-to-face with that one creature over in Frost, Texas, and everything. We stood pretty much close quarters to each other, toe-to-toe pretty much, staring at each other. He wasn't passing me, I wasn't passing him, but we just stayed our distance, but we still were very close. And he could have charged me. He could have ripped me in two if he really wanted to, but he never did.
In some of those things, I mean, they're large enough to be able to do a lot of damage. They do a lot of damage. I mean, anything that can twist a 2.5-inch branch into a twist with his hand is pretty powerful.
that is
And, you know, somebody once told me, oh, that a bear can do that. And I said, are you kidding me? There's no way a bear could do something like that. They can.
I told somebody about that here. I think it was my brother-in-law. I told him about that incident. And he goes, are you crazy? That thing could have killed you. I said, nah, he wouldn't have killed me. He charged us after we pulled out of that area and headed back to base camp. He charged the truck. That's all. He wanted us out of this area.
Yeah, and they, you're right. I think you're right.
But you know,
oh, gosh,
all my experiences with animals and everything, you know, it's amazing that this is a link between human and animal of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whether it's primate, we don't really know that. We don't know that for sure.
Well, we don't know enough about it. We know there's several. We know there has to be more than one species of this thing, just by virtue of some of the DNA we've gotten, and by virtue of the reports that we have, visual reports, and what we have too. I mean, our own. But yes,
right.
There's different species. The DNA is different. So we don't have. We just don't know enough about them.
Update on the Florida sightings. My mother lives over in the St. Johns County area, which is St. Augustine, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you remember me telling you about the encounter I had when I was 14 on our land.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently she's hearing the whoops, and she's seeing something dark tree to tree, and every now and again out in the far reaches of the swamp, she can hear the echo of the smack.
Wow.
Okay, so there is activity there, too.
Yeah, well, Florida is another one of those places that has quite a few, we get quite a few calls. I'm talking in the last month. I probably had 6-7 calls from Florida.
Well,
and I'm not talking about in the swamp.
Right.
I'm talking about driving down a county road to a stop sign and having one of those things walk across the road or alongside the road and people calling me about it.
Yeah.
And I had three within 4 days.
Wow. If Tom ever gets another call like that and he wants to put a team together, let me know. That is my neck of the woods.
Yeah. Yes. We got a guy that was down there, quite some time ago, He was a guest on the show here a couple of weeks back, and he was kind of new in the area there, and he was doing drag line down in the Everglades, right? Mm-hmm. And he had a creature that, well, he had a shotgun, and he shot up in the air. He didn't shoot at it. He shot up in the air, and the thing started coming toward him, and of course, he narrowly escaped. His father-in-law came and picked him up in the car just as the creature was coming within, you know, yards of him, and they got the heck out of there. But he came back the next day, and he talked to some of the people, and they said, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't you know that? You know, it's like it was an everyday experience. Like they had him out there, and he said he could see them all congregating out there, 15, 20 of them, sitting, you know, down one of the ways doing the drag line. He'd see those things sitting down way out there, and watching them. So he was pretty excited, but he was never going to go back into the woods alone." Ever. and if he did go back in, he wanted to make sure he had protection, you know, somebody that had protection for him.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Harry and the Hendersons, but me and Rosebud were sitting there watching this, and she was laughing, and she's wondering if they are really that smart. And I was telling her, yes, they are that smart. They are very, very smart. They portrayed that Squatch as being a protector of wild animals. I wonder if there's any truth to that.
Well, I don't know. I you know, it's hard to say. The Native American legends, there's quite a few, and it all depends on the tribe that you're talking about, because in some tribes it's a good omen, and some tribes it's a bad omen. So it's hard to get ground truth out of a legend. But a lot of the legends are based on not necessarily everything fact, but based on factual, experiences and things. So, Snake Man, I want to thank you for coming on tonight, and you're going to stick around for the end, right?
Yeah. Oh, Marco, thing I want to tell you: we're celebrating our 11th year in business with Southern Night Reptile Retrieval.
Oh, congratulations!
Congratulations.
Wow, that's an accomplishment. Pretty good. Yeah, that's how I found you. That's how I finally found you again is going through the Google, and it did come up with your name. It just, I couldn't get, it had an older number on it, and finally we got the right number, so it worked pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I'm going to mute you out. But stick around for the end of the show here, and we're going to go on to the next guest. And then when we're all done there, you have some other questions and stuff in the show we can discuss, too.
Oh, fantastic.
Thanks, Bruce. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Snake Man from Texas. Next, we're going to go out here and talk to our good buddy, Rocky. Rocky, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Well, you know, Rocky, one of the things I wanted to ask you, and I don't think I did before, is give us a kind of an idea of some of the things that you guys do when you, you know, some of the encounters that you guys have had, you and Swede. And basically, I guess, I don't know, back when you first met Tom.
Oh gosh, back when I first met Tom, me and the Swede spent about 85% of our time stomping around out in the woods looking hog hunting and all of the above. We've been hunting together for a couple of decades. We deer hunt, we hog hunt, we just hunt. And it was, I don't know, a few years back, we were back in our little area, and we ran onto a, well, we was coming out of the woods and knocked a hole in the gas tank of the Swede's old van. We got out to the road, and we was trying to get a stop, drove in the hole, and this old boy in a, oh, I don't know, a multi-hued Ford pickup. It was every color imaginable because it was just made out of bits and pieces. He stopped, and he talked to us for a little while, and he showed us. He asked us if we wanted to go. Of course, didn't realize at the time. He was looking at us real funny. Robert got out from under the van, and he was grapping because he had his Searching for Bigfoot T-shirt on, and he was all dirty and all that, thought he had ruined it. And the old boy kept looking at me real funny, and I didn't realize that I was wearing my Searching for Bigfoot cap. Well, he asked me, he said, are y'all a couple of kooks? Well, you know, I didn't know where that was coming from, and I kind of got aggravated, but, you know, he's a little old. Wasn't very much of him, so I wasn't gonna do him no harm. And I told him that, you know, I'd been called a lot of things before, but not very many people call me a coot. He said, well, he said, I saw your hat and his T-shirt. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, well, I know the founder and the CEO of the Searching for Bigfoot Incorporated. He said, well, he said, y'all believe in it? And I said, well, you know, it's one of those things, I believe there's something out there. I don't know exactly what it is. And he said, well, I got something to show y'all. So we followed him way off out in the woods. And, of course, you know, it looked like, I don't know, he looked like something from the zombie apocalypse. But we got out there, and he was going to show us some footprints. We looked all over in his little area and didn't find anything. He left. We noticed that he had, in the back of his truck, he had a whole bunch of ginseng and golden seal and mushrooms, about $2,000 worth. Anyhow, he was acting all nervous about it and all that. But anyhow, after he left, we was out there looking around, and the Swede hollered at me, and I walked over there and looked, and we found several footprints, right and left, and we followed it for a little while, and then it dropped off over a hill that was just, I say a hill, no, it was more like a bluff, but anyhow, we decided we better talk to him again, you know, see if this is something that he had seen, whatever it was that was making footprints, or if he just found the footprints or what. Well, we didn't see him again until just, I don't know, it was just a couple of weeks ago. Me and the Swede was out in the same general area. We were walking out through the woods, and Swede had to take care of a body function. And so I walked on ahead. I got off down in the woods, and I heard a noise, and I turned around and looked, and it was Ginseng Mike. That's what we called the guy. We knew that his name was Mike, but we've been referring to him as Ginseng Mike. Well, he saw me before I saw him. I turned around, and pointed the gun at me, started hollering and all kinds of stuff. He's going crazy. And I was trying to talk to him and all that, and the Swede heard the ruckus. And he came sneaking up behind, and he grabbed him, and I ran over there and took that old pistol away from him. And we tried to, you know, we tried to talk to him, but I don't know. He lost it. But anyhow, I took his gun back up to the truck and cleaned it up for him because it's an old rusty thing. I cleaned it up and oiled it up and gave it back to him, but we didn't give him his ammunition back until we put it in a can and told him that he'd be up in the middle of the road. And then we got on out of there because we couldn't get him to talk to us. we went back to that area after that, and, you know, we were kind of on the lookout for him, but we didn't see him anymore. But when we got out, like I say, pretty much that same general area, we were looking for hog tracks, and I saw where the brush had been stomped down a little bit, but it wasn't anything that you could actually make out a footprint, but the distance between them and the size of them, well, we had our ideas as to what it was, so we started following them. We followed them for a little ways, and we lost them. And then we'd pick them up again, and we found one that was, it was good enough that you could actually make out some toes, but the rest of it was just a big round, just a big oval-shaped thing. Well, we messed around out there for probably 5 hours, and we actually made a big circle, and we ended up crossing our trail, the trail that we had made following the first trail. And when we got up there, there was the first set of tracks that we had taken off following, and then there was our trail following the first trail, but then there was a fourth trail following us, our trail. So whatever it was that we was following had circled back around and was following us. So we found us some hidey spots and sit there, and we was going to wait hoping something came along. Well, it started raining, and the last time we got down there, when it rained for about 15, 20 minutes, and the creek came up about 4.5 feet, and we ended up having to stay over on the other side for about 4 days. So rather than having to do that, we went ahead and cut a trail out of there. But we had planned on going back, the other morning, but the rain and, we caught some of the tailwinds off the Oklahoma tornado. Sure. It didn't actually tornado, but some major, major strong winds. And, well, my wife knows that I can stop tornadoes and strong winds, so she wouldn't let me go to the woods. she made me stay home because I was gonna divert the storm. But anyhow, we never made it back out there. But we've got a place where we have found a tree that fell down years ago that had the bark propped up on the side of it with a couple of sticks. Well, the Swede kicked those sticks loose. He's probably listening. I don't know.
Yeah, he's listening.
Oh, is he?
Yeah,
he kicked those sticks loose. And he called me over there and was showing me what he had found. And then when he kicked the sticks loose, the bark just fell over. And there was a shed deer antler inside the bark, and it was obvious that someone had been using that deer antler to dig around in that old rotten tree and get grubs out.
Wow.
Well, he kept the antler, and just maybe a quarter of a mile down below that, we had found a fish trap where somebody had dammed up the creek. And, we didn't really think anything of it when we first got down there until we found a big pile of walnut hulls. Well, if you dam the water up and get some fish in the little pool, you throw walnut hulls in there and it kind of knocks them out. And they'll float to the top. You just scoop you up a big handful.
Hmm.
Well, there was no, we never did find a walnut tree around there. There's black walnuts. There's never, I mean, the holes were, but there was no, we didn't find any black walnut trees.
Wow.
Lots of hickory trees and that kind of stuff, but we didn't find any. Well, it's the only walnut tree that we found out there was probably 3 miles away. And, you know, didn't see anything. Just see, we saw where something had been. We saw where something had been sustaining itself. Of course, there's lots of stuff to eat down there anyhow, but, you know, a lot of good protein in those grubs and all those little fish and all that.
Yeah.
But,
gosh. Well, you guys did pretty good. You're going to keep in contact with us, all right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, we keep in contact, see what's going on. I mean, that seems pretty interesting.
Well, we spend a lot of time down in those woods, and we're trying to, that one area, we skirt it and try to keep an eye on things and see what's coming in and out. And fortunately, there's no people coming in and out. Because we call it the hell trail. Because once you, there is hell getting out.
Well, gosh, well, I want to thank you, Rocky, for coming on tonight and sharing with us again. And, gosh, I'll keep in contact with you. We'll have you back on again. And as things transpire, please just let me, you and Sweet, let me know. And we'll get you back on to, you know, come back on and see some more, get some more stuff.
Sounds good.
You're going to hang around until the end here, right? Okay. I'm going to mute you out, and we're going to go to our next guest. And then we'll meet at the end of the show here. Our next guest, we're going to go to Richard, New York. Richard, how are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you.
I want to thank you for all the hard work you've done here in the past couple of weeks. Ladies and gentlemen, this guy has, he's a workaholic. I mean, he has just gotten so many pictures and things. We're still working on how to get it so that we can transfer him back and forth and in the right way, but boy, I'm going to tell you, he does a heck of a job. He keeps it almost daily updating some of the pictures and things like that, and getting, when they get better, he gives me a better copy and all that. It's pretty good. So tell us a little bit what's going on, Richard.
As you know, I've been going over the video and pictures.
Yeah.
I'm convinced what I have here is not what other people are seeing in other areas. And like we talked on the phone earlier, I'm disappointed. I want to see something that looks like Gigantopithecus walk out of the woods, you know? And I'm getting something that's more of a, I don't know what else is in there with them, but something that's more of a hominid,
yeah.
I feel, because they're wearing skins and furs on their heads from what I can see.
We've had other encounters where people have mentioned that. There's other reports on the internet that I've looked at that they've mentioned that. So it may not be that rare of a thing.
Marco,
you're a smaller variety though. Yours are a smaller variety. They're not the 10 foot, 8 foot,
no,
7 foot.
From what I can see.
But I understand. But what we're saying in the pictures,
yeah,
and things are like smaller. 3, 4, 5 foot, maybe 4 foot, 5 foot, something like that, which is not unusual. I mean, we've had reports on that, too.
What seems
more recently here.
The faces are white. I'm seeing white. And why would they make what they're wearing try to look like a primate? Where would they get that from?
I don't know.
How are they constructing these things?
I don't know either. There's so many things we don't know.
It's a conundrum to me. Like I said, I'm disappointed. I want to see a monster. I don't want to see little freaks running around. I want to see a monster. The only clear photo I have of what they look like, I call it the Neanderthal. okay? Mm-hmm. He's got to be, I walked through there and there's no tree where he was and there's no hill, and he would be about 6.5 to 7 feet tall, large ears, a more pointed nose than people would expect, and very large, close-set eyes, and a rounded head.
Mm-hmm.
But you could see him from about the top of his mouth up. And he's not really small. There might be bigger, because, Marco, I've got 20-plus inch footprints out of there, and I know they're footprints.
No, I know. I remember that, yeah.
They're in sand. Yeah. I'm seeing the younger ones who are more curious, I think. That's the reason I'm seeing them. The older ones are hanging back. Probably they're more obvious. The one sighting I had of the one going across the trail was about chimpanzee size, and it was a gray-black blur on all fours.
Huh.
And it was so quick, people say, well, why don't people take pictures of them? If you could see the way this thing moved across that trail, you better have super fast action film and quick reflexes, or you're not going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
It was less than a tenth, probably less than a second.
Wow. Well, they do move. We know that they move pretty fast. I mean,
and you're not going to catch them. You're not going to run after them and catch them, believe me.
Well, about 3 or 4 incidents here last month, the creatures were running alongside a car that was going 35 miles an hour
mm-hmm.
on a gravel road. That's pretty darn fast.
And I've got to say, that the only guy, I listen to a lot of radio shows, a lot of people's shows, the only guy that really goes out is Tom. He's the only one that goes out. The rest go to conferences, and they're more like what I call barstool bikers. They're barstool squatchers. They don't want to really go out.
They don't have to. What they do is they take other people's stuff, and then they criticize it.
But Tom goes out.
But they have nothing of value of their own to furnish, the community. And so everybody, a lot of people think that that's classy because they can, shoot people down
mm-hmm.
and that they're the experts. But I don't think there is an expert.
No, nobody knows.
And I don't think anybody knows all the different details of these creatures yet either. There's so many things that we just don't know. And I think what it is, people are more willing to criticize other people's work. But if you have nothing to offer of your own, then I don't think you really have a license to criticize anybody. What makes you the expert at being able to tell whether something's fake or real?
Right. But you know what? Like Tommy and the other, or like Rocky and the other gentleman?
Yeah.
From what they were saying, these things seem to actually have the ability to plan and think. They're not like an animal. They're not like a bear.
Well, we know they're smart. We don't know all the details. We get different things.
I mean,
they bear gifts. They bear gifts. We know that. They're gift-giving. They, rocks, skeleton, small animal skeletons, bones, tree formations. I mean, different things like that. I mean, that's pretty significant, I think, when you look at it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And like I sent you the picture of the deer head in the tree.
Right.
Now, that was 25 feet up. How did that get there? And why would a
person... Well, no, I understand.
With no branches. There's no... That tree was skinned down, Marco. You know what? Completely skinned down all the way around. All the way around from about 15 feet up. No bark on it whatsoever. And I said to me, it's almost like it was a totem or something, you know?
Well, I don't know about a totem. I think what they might have done is they put it up there, and I mean, we do know they go in the trees.
To scare people?
No. One very good reason would be get out of harm's way. Two, mm-hmm. I mean, they climb the trees. I mean, I don't know why. Probably just because they might be part of their you know, stay up in there. They can look around through the forest and stuff.
It's
a higher vantage point. Who knows? We do know. I mean, I've got more than one video. I've got several videos of them crawling up in the tree. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty significant, too.
You said pretty big ones, too, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, these are the big ones. These are the 6, 7, 8 foot tall ones. When they're shaking the trees, I mean, that tree is almost like breaking. It's a big tree, too. That's pretty good.
I have something I want to send you, Marco.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make out of it. It looks like a leg and a foot, and it was on a hill that I couldn't get to. I tried to climb up to get it. Was there forever, and I thought it was might have been a dead one.
Yeah.
And that damn thing, it looks so much like and has anybody ever said anything about the big toe being splayed?
Being anything? What?
Splayed. Out like almost like an ape would be, like an ape's toe would be.
No.
You know, not close
to
together.
Not that I'm aware of.
It's just strange. I'll send it to you, but it's very strange.
Mm-hmm.
At first I thought it was nothing because it was too small. I don't know.
Well, I'm going to meet with you next week.
Yeah,
I'm going to meet with you next week, Richard, and then we're going to go through the video thing.
I couldn't
get to it. And then we'll be able to cook up some stuff that we can show people.
But to me, this is almost like being, not a forensic scientist, but it's almost like solving a mystery by using evidence, you know? If you call footprints and video and hair samples.
Yeah.
I wish we had more to go on.
Oh, yeah, well.
Because I want to see the end of it in my life.
Well, yeah, well, everybody does, I think. It'd be pretty neat. I want to thank you for coming on tonight.
You're welcome, sir.
Sharon, you're going to stay here for a couple minutes here. I got to get out there to our good buddy Anthony. And just stay on there, and I'll put Anthony on, and we'll go on into... Anthony, how are you tonight?
Well, pretty tired, Marco. Been working.
I figured you was, buddy. I'm sorry.
Working late, working out in the sun, and by the time I get home, and don't have much energy, but second shift when you got family and kids. But
God, I tell you what, I appreciate you coming on the show.
Sure. And I appreciate you.
You had some significant things here to say about some of the things that were going on here in the last few weeks between these various different people. But anything going on in your area right now?
Nothing yet. Pretty much what I should say is, you know, I have pretty much a little bit of what I've had before, you know, some, you know, little interesting tree formations.
Some great tree formations. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, there was one that was just huge. I mean, it was just, you know, and the cool thing about that picture, if you look at the bottom of that picture, you know, there's a little contract defense there. You know, it's only about a foot high, you know. And so, you know, if anybody wants to try to say that, oh, you know, a tree pushed it over or what have you, you know, I mean, well, you know, the tree should have also knocked, should have been on the ground and knocked over the contract defense too, you know. But that wasn't the case, you know. You know, and then right next to that, there was probably about 10 feet in the air at least, you know. You could see that the tree is just, you know, snapped, and it's just right next to that one with that huge formation that comes across. You know?
Wow.
And, you know, and again, you know, if they want to say, oh, yeah, you know, some folks might want to say a tree fell on it, but okay, where's the tree? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no, but these are things that you just don't normally see. And,
right.
I mean, there's no proof of what did it, but it certainly does look, I mean, the tree formations themselves can't, I don't think, can occur naturally like that.
No.
That's just beyond natural, you know, things. And so, and I don't think that the human is out there trying to do those things either, because the trees are just a little bit too big for a human to screw around with.
Yeah.
And I don't think a bear is able to do that. They're able to push a tree over. They're able to do that. I mean, they would scratch their backs and stuff like that if it's big enough. But I don't think they have big enough bears in your area to be able to do that.
You know,
I think you have the regular black bears, right?
I mean, we've seen humans, you know, do, you know, pretty strong things. You've seen one guy a long time ago on TV, you know, he was bending quarters, and you
yeah.
see guys today still ripping telephone books apart and stuff like that, but I have yet to see one, you know, bend a tree into a nice little arch, you know what I mean? So,
no, I know. So it's a pretty, it's pretty neat. I like it. And you've got kind of a record of all these. You know, since you've sent all these pictures in, and it just goes right in place. I mean, it just keeps getting better and better.
You know,
get more
Margaret,
and more.
There are a ton more. You know, that site that Tom was at, there are so many more formations, you know, and without exaggeration, I mean, I can go in any direction, and you will see more and more and more. But the problem is that, you know, I don't dare go that deep in the woods. You know, by myself, you know.
Well, I understand. I understand totally. And I don't blame you. I mean, it's not worth taking a risk.
Yeah, you remember that one time a couple months ago, I did try to attempt it one time, but then, I didn't even get past the electrical substation there. You know, I mean, it was a scream from one direction, a scream from another direction. I was like, okay, that's enough. You know? But
bag in the truck, right?
Yeah. Unlike some, you know, self-professed trackers that swear they're the greatest in the world, you know, they don't have a single formation to post. Yeah.
Well, keep in touch with us. I'm going to go. Excuse me. I'm going to go. We're going to go and open all the lines up here and go into our little conference time, and. Swede, you're on. Anthony's on. Mac, you're on. Bruce, you're on. And Rocky, you're on. Yeah, has anybody got any questions specifically, or want to ask some questions about things?
Hi,
have anybody?
I'd like to ask a question.
Sure.
Yeah, I forgot which guy it was that mentioned earlier about the shorter creatures. You know, I just want to say, you know, I just want to share if they don't remember. I mean, that was the first sighting that I had was two small ones at the same time, you know.
Yeah.
The distance they were at.
That was Richard. Richard, you want to remark?
Yeah. That's what I'm seeing, Anthony, whether they're juveniles or whether they're – that's the way the species is. I'm not sure. I know there's some big ones in there. But you might have just seen a couple juveniles that are probably a little bit more careless than the adults.
Yeah. You know, that may be. But you might want to check with some Native Americans.
This is Lou.
Talk to you about that, because I know around here that seemed to be, you know, with a few natives around here, they're saying that, you know, that was, you know, they. Sometimes they weren't always seeing the big ones. They were seeing the little ones.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Nobody knows. Nobody knows for sure what's there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know what I saw for sure, but, you know, I'd like to see it again, but I just thank God for what I did see.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I hear a lot of people talking about the different heights, and, you know, some people saying, well, that's not what it could be because it was too big or it was too small. If people would just pick up the National Geographic and look at the pictures of Africa, you get pygmies that are under 5 foot. You got Watusis that are over 7 foot. All on the same continent? Well, it seems to me like it could just real easily be the same thing here with them. So before we start, before anybody starts saying, no, it couldn't be that because it was too short, they need to bear that in mind.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I agree.
What? That's just like saying, same thing with mankind. Some of us come in small packages, big packages, small packages, short packages. He got that in every group.
Yeah.
Everybody is wide packages.
Yeah, that's me.
We've got Jim Thing Mike there in Arkansas, and then we've got Steve the Giant. Okay. That explains everything.
But is there a documented case of Sasquatch, any Sasquatch is being dwarfed?
Being who?
Being what now?
Being dwarfed, you know, having like a dwarfed version of a Sasquatch.
I don't know if I don't know if we can say that, but I do know that in almost every instance in every area, there have been small Sasquatches sighted. I know on the Navajo Reservation, they have. I know in Arizona, they have. I know that many of the reports that we get from down in Florida, there's several different versions from Florida area, or, you know, from the southern state area, Arkansas, Alabama, Tennessee, Florida. I mean, all those places, South Carolina, North Carolina, they have a large variety and a smaller variety.
Well,
and we've had people on the show here within the last month that have attested to that, in South Carolina at least. And,
The reason I was wondering is that, you know, the human species, we have sophism in our species, but I'm wondering, do they have it? Other species have it?
I'm sure they could. You know, I'm very sure that it very well could be. But, you know, there may be a whole, I think it's more like Rocky is saying, you know, they have a, you know, if you look at, let's say, European, some of the European or some of the Asian countries, the people are smaller in stature, okay, than, let's say, the Nordic variety, 6'2", 6'1". You know what
little
I'm saying?
Vikings.
Yeah. And I mean, so there's a different, completely different, you know, a range of the sizes of, well, like Steve said, the packages, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
I'd like to jump in there a minute.
Yeah.
This is Swede.
Yes, Swede.
You know, me and Rocky both have experienced our little things out and about, and down in a certain spot down in the Pawpaw Patch, we've seen where there's been, you know, 12, 15 foot tall trees skinned over for fruit, and then again we see one that's 5 or 6 feet tall skinned over. Well, you know, it just makes sense that there's different size, still doing the same, you know, same activity.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be juveniles or a shorter or version. But
yeah.
I mean, I could pull a tree down that's, you know, however big, and, you know, somebody a lot smaller is gonna be pulling down the same thing, you know, to gather the fruit.
Sure.
Just a weight issue or if it's a size issue, you know, but when you see the activity going on, you know, it just makes sense. It, you know, a 6 foot or a 7 foot tall, 8 foot tall creature is not going to bend a 6 foot tree down, you know, to 4 foot to get the fruit. He's just going to pick it up and eat it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep, no, absolutely. I agree.
There's a lot of stuff that you can experience out there that you see that can allude to different sizes, different heights, for sure.
Sure. Unfortunately, we don't know enough.
Yep.
You know, we don't have enough information, but we do have sightings, and the sightings would, you know, validate that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I thought I would jump in there and say that anyway. Yeah, go ahead.
No, thanks, sweet. I appreciate that. That's good.
I,
and that's a good analogy, too, I'm telling you.
I enjoyed that about Sweet and Rocky finding the antler. That means that if they could possibly be using tools.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, you know what they mean, or what you know what they say. It took us over, what was it, 6,000 or 7,000 years to evolve to a better human race than we are now, or that we were back then. And even though there's a lot of people out there that say the Bigfoots are dumbed down, they're not evolving, maybe they're not evolving to us because we don't know how they're evolving as, but what they're evolving to be.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just like if you were, I mean, you can see the, you know, the scenario that they're at. You know, I mean, if you were in the survival mode, you're going to do things a lot different than if you're walking downtown New York.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's probably just as simple as that. You don't have to go any further than that. You're going to do what you're going to do. So they're doing what they got to do. It's not an evolving thing. It's just what doing what they're doing.
Yeah,
sure.
And you know, if you're walking out across the highway, you know, and you see cars coming in at 80 miles an hour, you don't go out in the highway too much anymore. So that's, I think that's, you know, it's a pretty simple thing now on that part of it. But yeah, you're right. Yeah. You know, I think that the evolving thing is because of the population, the evolving, as if you want to say it as an evolution, the evolution is that they're not going to be out in the middle of the highway. You know, that's just not going to be part of the deal. And if they do have to cross the highway, it's, you know, they're not stupid enough to say, well, we're going to cross at 5 o'clock rush hour. We're going to go at 2 o'clock in the morning and there's nobody
there. Right. They're going to pick their time.
Yeah.
Can I say something right quick on that, Marco?
Sure you can.
Okay. The first two I saw, one was 8 feet tall, other one was 6 feet tall. They were in the highway, the first one was on a four lane. And I was getting closer to them. And the closer I got, the big one stood on the white line on the side of the road, had his foot on the grass. And he was waiting for that female to come, and when that female got up to him, he grabbed her and snatched her back. And then they took off across the road in front of me and another car. And I'm telling you, this was like between 3:30 and 4 o'clock in the evening in the wintertime. But there was nothing that around to block my view, and I've never seen any animal could run that fast. In fact, one of them hit the ground and pulled yourself free one time. It's like if they happen to fall, that just picks up momentum. And we were talking about the speed a while ago. I've never owned a horse. I've been out running one of these things. I've never so fast.
Yeah. I think you're all right. Well, hey, this has been a really pretty good interface with different questions and things like that. I appreciate all you guys coming on and staying this long to do that. We're going to close the show, I think, pretty much right now. But I want to thank everybody for showing up tonight and coming on the show and sharing. And we'll see everybody next week. Maybe Tom will be back next week. I think he will.
The Snake Man of Paris, Texas thing. Good night, y'all.
Hey, good night.
Enjoy it.
Good night, all. Thank you, Tom. All right. Thank you, Bill.
Night. You're right.
It was nice visiting with everybody. Please, somebody, everybody, say a prayer for Rocky's mom, please.
Oh, all right.
Sure. Well, let's put out the prayer list for Rocky's mom, and also let's put out the prayer list for the tornado victims and
in Oklahoma.
Good night,
everybody.
Everyone.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died.
answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Put them all together, reason for the facts.